don't think that this story that we have to tell is that unusual. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of systems, a lot of public systems go down. I hate this fancy stuff. A lot of public systems go down over the years. And I want to bring us back to the last slide that Claudia left us with, which has to do with the diagnosis. And I think there are some common threads, both in terms of why we've lost public systems and what we need to have a public system actually continue to function. And here I want to make a little bit of a distinction between, you know, what we say on the picket line, which we usually know what to say on the picket line, that's easy, and what we have to do to actually either prevent this kind of implosion or, more importantly, rebuild. So here's some of the problems and issues that that Claudia outlined, and you've seen from Pete and Angela some detail to that. I want to take a moment and talk about some relatively recent history. I could go back, you know, to like the 1920s. The first report that called for a building of the new Cook County Hospital was issued by the American College of Surgeons in 1929, I think, or 28, and said you need to build a new hospital right away, and it opened in 2002. So this is not, you know, I'm not going to go all the way back to today, but just to give you some sense, County has been here before, and I unfortunately have found this book ending my career. So when I was in medical school, actually, or just this actually, 69 was before I started medical school, all of the attendings at County threatened to resign en masse. And George Dunn was in power there. He just recently died. And the county board was forced to give up control of the hospitals. And we had actually established the Health and Hospitals Governing Commission in the late 60s. We won't spend a lot of time on that, but we have been there before. And if you're around Chicago, you'll hear it in the news. Under the Governing Commission, a number of clinics were opened up, and actually that's the first community clinics were opened up under there. The commission was able to regain accreditation for Cook County Hospital. Stroger Hospital will be visited by JCO again in December. We'll see what happens. There was a budget crisis, and again, this is a common thread in public sector matters. You underfund for a few years, and then you say, see, the idiots can't run anything. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't care whether it's public housing or the CTA. The last time, oh, by the way, those of you from Chicago, is still running. They got a little money until December, but anyway, so. And so this is one of the dilemmas when you're struggling to keep a system open. And we've been very polite up here, you know, because it's a difficult thing, because if you tell all your dirty laundry, then they'll say, well, just close it all down because y'all can't do nothing. So, you know, it's a delicate balance. You know, so the reality is, relatively speaking, as Steve said, considering the pennies people have, we've done well. Now that, you know, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing a whole bunch of stuff better and different, but, you know, it's a relative process. When I was a House officer, things were allowed to get so bad under this independent governing commission. Again, this was not a surprise either. We actually missed two paychecks. We actually ran out of money in the bank. And with that crisis, it was returned back to the Democratic Party. So the Health and Hospitals Commission was dissolved and we had direct control. This is a trend that Steve talked about. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but it's a national trend that we are not paying enough attention to. It's not just that County is not running well. The Bureau of Health is not doing what it should. It's not billing. Doesn't have good leadership and all that kind of stuff. But the ground on which we walk is shifting. So in the 2000 census, the number of people that, the number of poor people that have left central cities and moved to inner suburbs has changed. And those inner suburbs, and in our instance, further cities, Aurora, Waukegan, they're not prepared for this. But this is a trend that's going on all around the country. I can't afford to live in where most of our health centers are, and I make a good county salary. So this is some of just maps of the demographic shifts, the population shifts to the suburban region. You can see a geography lesson. You can see Cook County is sort of here in the middle, and these are surrounding counties in the metro area. I love this. You know, I live, my family home is in South Shore, And, you know, we've been living there for 30-something years, 30, 35, 36 years. And it's like, you know how back in the day in your kitchen, because I know none of y'all have the situation now, but you know how back in the day you get up and you turn on the lights and all the roaches would scurry away? Y'all know that? You know, like in my neighborhood, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, if you ride the metro to my back home where I live, all these white people would get off the train and they would scurry away. I'd be saying, where are they going? You don't see them any other time. But the actual reality is the movement of whites back into the city in the central downtown district and along the lake where I live is tremendous. And those areas are being gentrified. That's why it used to be our clinic was under the L. That's where it was. And now they're $400,000, $500,000 townhomes that face our clinic. So the migration is significant. The biggest change in our community, a tremendous increase in Asian and Latino populations in the surrounding suburbs, in Joliet, in Waukegan. These communities are not prepared. The infrastructure is not there. So the poor people have decreased within the city of Chicago. And we've seen almost an equal increase in poor populations in suburban Cook and in the collar counties. So we have a health care safety net, mental health, social service, medical care, concentrated in the old inner city for the 40s, 50s, and 60s, unprepared to deal with the new realities. It's just not going to be feasible. And so how do we get out of this mess? Well, that's going to be a trick. We have a report on county. You know, you can sort of tell how a county's doing by how many reports we have. So if we're doing good, we get a special report maybe every 10 or 15 years. Well, in the past 12 months, we've had 4 reports, so you know we're in trouble. We had a report from Northwestern written by our former deputy chief and the head of ambulatory. We had Bobby Steele as I won't. Chicago politics and county politics are never boring, but we don't have time for it. But we had a very short tenure of Bobby Steele as a county board president, and her transition team had a report. When Todd Strozier got elected, he appointed Quentin Young to head his transition team, and they made a report. And just recently, I should call this the Durbin Blue Ribbon Committee, but just recently our congressional delegation said, no, you've got to have a Blue Ribbon Committee to look at this problem. And they just issued a report. There's an overlap of people on these panels, and they all said the same thing. There's really no difference in anything that they said. They said, first, the crisis is real. This is Chicago, so people are very suspicious. So when you say you don't have money, the first thing they say is, do you really not have money? Are you really in trouble? And around the county system, people in Cook County have faith that system is going to be there. They cannot conceive of the notion that the system will not be there. And their attitude is, y'all always say you're about to close. You're always in trouble. So all these reports said the crisis was real, that it threatens the actual survival of the Bureau of Health. It threatens all other safety providers. We didn't have time to discuss this today, but one of the, I think, accomplishments of the Bureau of Health was really integrating into other safety net providers, led, I think, by the Department of Health, who that's their modus of operation, to work through partnerships and collaborations. But the clinical side of the Bureau also had relationships, contractual and otherwise, with community health centers and safety net hospitals. And this is one thing that I think is a good thing, every CEO in the region knows that county is in trouble, and if county goes down, they're in trouble. Northwestern, University of Chicago, Rush, General, Loyal, you name it. So they are all scared shitless. Because we really are in trouble. And actually, they speak in the manner of CEOs, so you're not going to see them on the evening news, but trust me, they are speaking loudly and clearly to the powers that be, the mayor, the county commissioners. They are saying, things are a mess, you have to do something. The other thing I want to say is that the restoration of cuts, now what we're doing right now is we're in our budget process, and there's an attempt to restore a significant portion of the dollars that were cut in the last year. It's not a true, complete restoration. You can't restore people that you fire. You can't restore people that left. But even if we ignore that, it's not a dollar-for-dollar restoration. But that's not enough. Because what did Claudius say? We were already in trouble. We already were not meeting the needs of the people we're supposed to serve. So restoration is not should not be the slogan that we're out here. We really need a brand new health center. And I have some biases that we'll get to. Governance is a major issue. Every report has says governance is a critical issue. Now, let me tell you something. I'm a realist. I'm not born and raised in Chicago, but I understand the power of the democratic machine. And while I would like to talk about revolution and seizing state power, I don't want us to wait to do that to solve this crisis. So I know we can have different kind of governance. There is an interesting debate about this, and let me be blunt, not everybody agrees with a complete independent governing board. Some of my friends in organized labor, for example, feel that they have more ability to control elected officials. Now, my position is, well, you elected the governor and the mayor and all these turkeys, and you can't get nothing done. So, but in any case, you know, there is something to be said for direct democracy, but the reality is only Cook County and L.A. County have their health systems today controlled entirely and directly by the county board. Everywhere else has some sort of different structure, and there's a whole range of different structures that are possible. So I think we have to do that. So the major newspapers, all of these panels in one way or another, there's a growing crescendo saying we need new governance. Now I want to make a distinction here, and let me be clear. I am not a member, nor have I ever been a member of the Democratic Party. And I'm not here to defend patronage. However, the issue of patronage is not, while I disagree with it, it is not the fundamental question facing the survival of this bureau. You could take all the patronage workers around and double their number, and you're still not going to have that much of a budget impact relative to what we have to spend. And certainly when you look at Springfield or the mayor's office, you know, this is Chicago, you know, I think patronage is in the water. I don't know. I mean, I'm for trying to get rid of it, but I just don't want to wait. I don't want us to focus on that. The issue of governance has nothing to do with political influence. It has to do with, do you have a competent governing body that has the time and skills to do what has to be done to give oversight to this system? If we have an independent commission to govern this, don't think that there won't be political influence. I mean, if you think that having an independent commission, which I fully support, suddenly means that the Democratic Party is not going to have influence or that the Republicans in the suburbs aren't going to have influence, you're drinking, you're smoking something, I don't know. So new governance by itself is not a solution, but it's a critical basic first step. And we have to be careful what we ask for. We have independent governance with the Forest Preserve. That's my favorite example. The county board adjourns, and they reconvene exactly the same people as the board of the Forest Preserve. So, you know, you have to be clear what you're asking for. They just changed the letterhead. Instead of, you know, the governing commission, when it started out, was appointed by the county, the mayor, and the governor, and the medical schools, the one I talked about in the 60s. When it was first appointed, it was completely controlled by those turkeys. And it took a bunch of years to get it to be independent. And those were major years of struggle. Talk to Quentin about it, if you will. So right when we got an independent governing commission, that's when they let it run out of money and dissolved it. You know, so again, this issue of an independent governance, which I absolutely support, is not a panacea, and it doesn't mean the struggle stops. I personally think we need an independent authority with taxing ability. One of the major problems is the ability to raise taxes. The politicians are American politicians. While they can put tax money for Iraq, they think we're overtaxed. We're not overtaxed as Americans. But that's a difficult thing to get across to people. So having an independent health authority with the ability to tax allows the politicians to say, well, it wasn't me. You know, it was those other people. So I actually think that's an important task. There are a number of different structures around the country. There'll be a lot of debate about what such a thing should look like, but I think we can do that in Chicago. And if I were a member of the Democratic Party and the head of patronage, I would be confident that my influence wouldn't be ignored. So I'm not sure why they're so worried about it. They have power means you can manage no matter what's going on. But that's only a part of it. Governance is only a little bit of it. We have to have leadership and accountability at all levels in the Bureau. This is not just a question of one leader or five leaders. It really means an approach to how you run the place, and do you feel you're accountable? And are you responsible for the second shift on the northeast corner of this hospital, or are you thinking about the health issues around the region? That's the difference between management and leadership. We should think about what services we can offer, and what services may be better offered by other safety net providers. And then we can fight for the resources we need. We need to have realistic budgeting and financial management. They tell me now, I have good friends that tell me they've actually seen a balance sheet in all the years I worked with. I have not seen a balance sheet, but I understand right now we actually have produced one or two, right, Sydney? So that's amazing. But think about that. This huge, but no balance sheets. How do you manage anything? It's not like they weren't asked for either. I think the role of teaching and research is critical in a system like ours, but we've lost some residencies and will continue to lose more because we don't have the kind of leadership and approach that we need. It took a long time to get in this mess. In the recent period, at least 15 years, and I think right now, if Jesus Christ, Allah, you pick your Savior, appeared, it would take 8 to 10 years to get out of it. So this is going to, and I'm not sure we have 8 to 10 years. So some choices really don't make a hell of a lot of difference. This is where we are. Paper or plastic is not what we need to be about at the moment. We need some vision. We need some emergency treatment. We have to avoid giving up our historic mission. And we particularly have to avoid this political division between Black and Latinos. So this notion that's being pushed by people, it's those undocumented immigrants, it's those Latinos, it's those, this is something we have to oppose. And unfortunately, we have commissioners in private and public who stoke this kind of division, because that will only lead to a fast dissolution of the system. We really need an independent governing authority with full taxing ability. And we need to not, our goal is not to save Provident Hospital or save Oak Forest Hospital. Our goal should be we need a Bureau of Health that's integrated, fully integrated, from birth to the coroner's office to the grave. Okay? Fully integrated, working together, functioning well, meeting the needs of the county. That says it's an emergency. That's just an emergency vision. But that will fail because what we really need is a regional, comprehensive, fully integrated health system offering both population-based and personal health services to everyone, regardless of their ability to pay. If we have that, if we can get that in the next 10 or 15 years, where all of these counties sit down and see the authority that we need for a regional system, then we can actually make great steps to making healthcare a right and not a privilege. Thank you.